"What business have you here?" asked the lad. "It's business that may put something into your pocket," said the other. "You've two horses in for the Wessex Cup, Silver Blaze and Bayard. Let me have the straight tip, and you won't be a loser. Is it a fact that at the weights, Bayard could give the other 100 yards in 5 furlongs, and that the stable have put their money on him?" "So you're one of those damned touts," cried the lad. "I'll show you how we serve them in King's Pyland." He sprang up and rushed across the stable to unloose the dog. The girl fled away to the house, but as she ran, she looked back and saw that the stranger was leaning through the window. A minute later, however, when Hunter rushed out with the hound, he was gone, and though he ran all round the buildings, he failed to find any trace of him.
"One moment," I asked. "Did the stable boy, when he ran out with the dog, leave the door unlocked behind him?"
"Excellent, Watson, excellent," murmured my companion. The importance of the point struck me so forcibly that I sent a special wire to Dartmoor yesterday to clear the matter up. The boy locked the door before he left it. The window, I may add, was not large enough for a man to get through. Hunter waited until his fellow grooms had returned, when he sent a message to the trainer and told him what had occurred. Straker was excited at hearing the account, although he does not seem to have quite realized its true significance. It left him, however, vaguely uneasy, and Mrs. Straker, waking at 1 in the morning, found that he was dressing. In reply to her inquiries, he said that he could not sleep on account of his anxiety about the horses, and that he intended to walk down to the stables to see that all was well. She begged him to remain at home, as she could hear the rain pattering against the window, but in spite of her entreaties, he pulled on his large mackintosh and left the house.